Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Still here in the book of Luke, but we have a surprise guest
today. Substitute?
No, not substitute. We've been waiting for the ninth inning to bring in the most important player.
Yeah, the pinch hitter.
The pinch hitter.
Yes.
And so we've got Eric Wood with us. He's no stranger to Everyday Truth. He's been with us before. Eric actually serves as the student ministries pastor at our church. But he oversees a whole lot more than that. He's just honestly been such a godsend to Faith Baptist Church. And Eric and I have been friends for years, but we kind of got reconnected here in ministry at Faith, and it's been awesome.
It's been awesome. Incredible. What an honor.
So we're in Luke, Eric, and we talked a little bit before the podcast and said we're about to enter some really heavy verses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my word. Maybe the heaviest. Could be.
We think about the hope for mankind being the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Just thinking through the events surrounding the death of Jesus Christ, all that he suffered, just the physical side of it.
I can't believe he lasted, you know, I mean, we're going to get into the, you know, some of the parts of it, but it's like, I can't believe he lasted as long as he did without, just humanly speaking, passing out or even dying. You know, we're going to see, you know, how Simon picked up his cross and, you know, made him last a little bit longer. But yeah, it's hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine, but we're going to try to do that, my friends. And so I want you to just stay engaged. If you can find a quiet spot and look on in your own Bible, I just feel as if these are verses that really need to be considered very soberly and very carefully. So let's look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 23, where the Bible says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast." So I'm going to stop right there before we see their response. Of course, we know their response. But I find this to be an incredible admission from the Roman governmental official.
Yeah, for him to have this fight going on the inside of him. You can see him, you know, seeing him look at Jesus in a certain way, and then he's, you know, this conversation seemed like it went on for a while.
Well, Pilate had already examined Jesus, so remember that. He knew there was something fishy here.
Yeah.
And remember, my friends, the Roman governor that was over that region didn't even live in Jerusalem. He lived in Caesarea. He didn't even want to be there. The feast times, the high feast times like Passover, which this is Passover, or Pentecost 50 days later, or in the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall season, these were times when the population would swell by 2.5 times their normal population. And people, the Jews had this messianic fervor during the feast times because they're thinking about the Bible and they're thinking about the promise of deliverance. And so these were times when riots would quickly form and flashpoints. And you know, we're seeing a little bit of that in our country right now, where we're seeing some rioting and we're seeing some mob rule mentality. And I'm going to tell you something, for law enforcement, those things can get out of hand really, really quickly. And nobody understands that any better than Pilate. So Pilate, he's trying to walk, I think as you intimated before, Eric, he's trying to walk this tightrope.
Yeah, Yeah, he's trying to please people and yet keep a firm hand over things so that he can keep everything in order. That's what he's there for.
Right. So he knows that in order to keep things in order, he's got to give the Jews what they want. But he also knows that as a Roman official, if he starts executing people that are not worthy of that crime, well, now he's going to have some issues with his upper ups. Mm-hmm. So he's really in a tight spot. Now, add to that, if you look at the parallel passage, that Pilate's wife has told him, hey, I had this dream. Don't mess with this guy.
Yeah. He's got to take that into consideration.
So what has Pilate already done? Exactly.
Right.
So what has Pilate already done? He's already had this huge question mark, and he's sent him over to Herod.
Yeah. Try to push it off. Yep.
You know, so, hey, it's not under my jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Let someone else make the choice. And of course, we know what happened there. Jesus never answered Herod a word. Herod got more incensed, more mad, beat and mocked Jesus and sent him right back to Pilate. In other words, Pilate, you're going to have to deal with this.
Yeah. Pushing it off back to him. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a situation in your life, my friends, and I'm going to ask this question of you, Eric, mm-hmm. where you knew in your heart what the right decision was, and yet the peer pressure and the political pressure around you was so strong mm-hmm. that you caved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you can answer it honestly, then the answer obviously for just about everybody is yes. When you take in all that's considered, and then you go ahead and move forward with the wrong decision because of political or even, you know, social pressures or whatever it is.
Yeah, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Mm. And Pilate was setting a trap for himself, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So here Jesus is right back in front of him. And Pilate, at least at this point, speaks the truth to the religious leaders and said, guys, you brought Jesus to me. Mm-hmm. I've done due diligence.
Yep.
I've sent him to Herod. The two authorities in the city have made inquisition, and he's not guilty mm-hmm. of what you're claiming. So what we're going to do is we're going to chastise him. We're going to beat him mm-hmm. and then release him. Thinking that statement would satisfy them.
Well, yeah, you know? in that statement, it seems like he's all finished with it. Like if you read it, it's like, I'm going to beat him and I'm going to release him.
Right.
And then that, it's almost as if he turns around and he's done with the conversation. But then the crowd starts to get back into it, and that hits his conscience again. Well, why didn't he just stand firm? You know, but that wasn't in God's plan.
So let's go there then, because you brought up the fact that, and I totally agree with you. I think that in Pilate's mind, he thought, okay, I'll satisfy the people by just beating him. Mm-hmm. And that'll teach Jesus a lesson. It'll satisfy the crowd, and I'll be off the hook.
Yep, done.
But it wasn't that easy. Because look at what it says in verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. A Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. So before we get into Pilate's response, boy, think about the irrationality of this crowd.
They're looking at this guy that has not done anything, and they're looking at this murder. They have to release one of them. But what's ironic is Barabbas is in there for murder. Now, these people are wanting to murder someone who's absolutely innocent in the sight of Herod and Pilate.
And then set the one whom everyone knows is a lowlife, to put it in those terms.
Yeah, back to them.
And murder it back to them.
Yeah.
The righteousness is turned upside down.
Exactly.
Truth has fallen in the streets. Mm. And the mob now has taken over this collective irrationality. And I wonder if any one of the individual people in the crowd would have requested that. And there's something about when you're in the middle of a crowd and everyone's looting and everyone's burning and everyone's shouting and everyone's, that it's much easier to allow just your irrational side, your carnal nature, just to take over.
Yeah, no doubt there were people inside of that crowd that did not want to go through with crucifying Jesus, but they weren't thinking correctly, so they fell into the peer pressure, and then they went ahead and moved forward and either didn't say anything and went along with the crowd, or all of a sudden they just flipped and started going with everybody else anyway.
So watch what happens in verse 21, where Pilate, willing to release Jesus, spake unto them, but they, so in other words, Pilate argued back with them. No, he wants to release Jesus. And the more Pilate tried to make his case and reason with, and that's the problem. You cannot reason with irrationality.
Oh, yeah.
When emotion and logic meet, emotion always wins. So that's why it's important in arguments, and I say arguments, discussions with people, to wait until emotion has subsided, or when people become irrational, take a step back. A soft answer turneth away. And Pilate is trying to reason with these people, but watch their response in verse 21. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. So Pilate is maintaining his legal choice. Hey, I have not found any legal grounds. I'm telling you, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Three times.
Yes, I've already told you. This conversation is over, and it's as if he ends it again. He says, no, I'm going to chastise him, and then I'm going to let him go. And then it seems like it's cut off again. But again, the crowd goes up even more. But
they're not taking no for an answer.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the theme, though, with Roman government? They were always looking at the political side of things and always wanting to see what the people wanted. And you see what kind of, you know, what kind of history that led to.
Watch verse 23. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests, watch this, prevailed. Yeah, they just cried long enough. They cried long enough. They cried long enough. And just a leadership lesson is this. This is a parenting lesson.
Yeah.
This is a leadership lesson. And that is, if people know that their disobedience and their carnal insistence upon their way, if they know that if all they have to do is scream and scream and scream and scream and scream and scream and scream, and then on the 10th scream, on the 14th toddler tantrum, they're going to get the candy, then guess what? They're going to keep on throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
So until a leader says, my word means something.
Yeah.
And you can cry all you want to, you can tantrum all you want to, but you will not win. You'll never have true leadership.
Yeah. Obviously, in the path of Pilate, he has done this before. Because if his word meant something and he had stood firm on maybe a certain subject in the past, then they would have known, it doesn't matter how many times we cry out to him, it's not going to matter. He does what, but the crowd knew that there was a soft spot there. So they took advantage of it. They continued to cry. And they said, no, if we keep after this, we're gonna give in. Just like a parent. Same exact thing.
No, that's a very interesting, that's an interesting insight. And of course, we don't know. We don't know that was Pilate's pattern. But it certainly makes sense what you're saying. And let's get even given the benefit of the doubt and say this was the first time he ever did this. Mm. Well, what one thing we would know then from now on is that his leadership has now been eroded.
Yes.
Look at quickly, because we're running out of time. Verse 24. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. So who's the law? Who is the law enforcement now? The people, the mob.
Yeah.
And verse 25, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Mm. You know, and what I see there, just in closing, Eric, is that, you know, they took Barabbas and let Jesus take his place. And in that sense, I guess, you know, we're all Barabbas. Mm-hmm. We're the wrongdoers. We are the ones that deserve the very cross on which Jesus was placed, mm-hmm. on which Jesus was crucified. And so we can look at Barabbas and say it makes no sense and he didn't deserve. But, you know, we can also look at our own lives, can't we?
Yeah.
And we can say it makes no sense.
Yep.
We didn't deserve. And so there is grace always as the lining, the silver lining in every one of these passages. We see the grace and mercy, the love, the awesome plan of God. We're going to continue this discussion next episode. Appreciate you joining us today. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.